All right, Rabbi Say, good morning, good morning. Let us begin, Baruch Hashem, begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Share to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar. Sorry, Sivan. Habalim Lotov, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushals this month in memory of Avram's father, Rafael Yechiel Ben Avram, Zichron of the Brachar. Dafyomi sponsors for today, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, in the schus of continued health for Shulam Mishana Bas Susha, and for an ultimate refuah Shalema. And of course, we dedicate our learning in the schus of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mei Eretz Hashem, continue to shower them with bracha and Shemir Yisera, Mei our holy soldiers, and Mei Eretz Hashem, be successful b'chol ma'aseh yedeihem. And we dedicate our learning in the zechus of Rabbi Nachum Shor. Rabbi Shor was a tremendous pillar of our kehila, a tremendous pillar of our community for so many years. He passed away suddenly in Eretz Yisrael over Shavuos. The levaya was already this afternoon in Eretz Yisrael, and the family will be sitting shiva at the Shor home around the corner. Rabbi Shor was a fixture here of our shul, a fixture of our 9 o'clock minyan, a fixture of learning, a person who had, you know, individual chavrusos with so many here, some of the chavra here in this shir as well, and just really a man who was an exceptional Talmud Chacham, overwhelmingly humble in every single way, a true anuf. Really, that was his essence. He was truly humble. Walking into the shul, you would never know who he was. You would never know that you were standing in front of a man, first of all, who had such overwhelmingly holy yichus, but it wasn't his yichus that defined him. His own career in mental health, his own just incredible depth of knowledge of Torah, and an overwhelming loss for his family, an overwhelming loss for us, his community. I will tell you that every year he would come to our home on Purim, and it was the highlight of our Purim. Rabbi Shor would come, and he would sit down by the table. He would share Divrei Torah. And I'll tell you this, I want to say something amazing. Every year he would give us, our family, a bracha. Bli shum guzma, without any exaggeration. Every single year his brachos came true. Every single year. A little bit more than 2 years ago. When my wife would come make sure I always sit at the table when he was there. He gave us a bracha that we would make 3 simchas in a year. He gave us a bracha. Baruch Hashem, that was the year that we married off 3 of our children. Baruch Hashem, in a year. And every single year, the bracha that he gave was always the bracha that came true. It was people did not understand who he was and what he was, but he was really a treasure. Treasure for his family, treasure for his community. Overwhelming loss. His neshama shav in aliyah, his family shav in nechama. And Emir Hashem, we should continue to just create so much kedusha, so much positivity, because that's what he had so much nachas from. That's what he enjoyed being around. And Emir Hashem, we should just share besoros tovos in the future. I will say with that, let us begin. So to those who, I have some shocking news to those who weren't here, you know, yesterday, which is we're starting at the Mishnah on 24A. And I'm Chavdal. Thank you. So, right, never happened before. Absolutely never happened before. But Baruch Hashem, I will say, and we have an overwhelmingly beautiful daf ahead of us today. So let's begin. Says the Mishnah, Kasher bekohanim, pasul belevim, Kasher belevim, pasul bekohanim. So, continuing along this theme of you know, what works in one situation doesn't work in another. So we're continuing in this theme over here that literally that which is kasher by Kohanim is pasul by Levim, and that which is pasul by Levim, or that which is kasher by Levim, ultimately pasul by Kohanim. So what does this mean? So here this Mishnah seems to be somewhat enigmatic. The Gemara says as follows. Tan Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Kohanim bemumin psulin bisharim ksherim, Levim bemumin ksherim bisharim psulim. So here it is, Rabbosai. So the Braisa now explains this. Kohanim are disqualified for service if they have a mum, if they have some type of disqualifying blemish. On the other hand, by Kohanim, there are no age limitations. Now, obviously, a Kohen can only serve in the Beis HaMikdash once he reaches the age of majority. So he has to be a Gadol. But really, what we're talking about over here is there's no mandatory retirement by Kohanim. Now, we're going to see that statement is not totally true. There are certain things that could happen that could cause mandatory retirement. But from an age perspective, there's no mandatory age. No mandatory age. Yeah, mandatory age limit. Good. There's no mandatory age requirement for retirement for Kohanim. On the other hand, I'll say, interestingly enough, by Leviim, the halacha is, mumin are not, don't passel by Leviim. So Levi could have some type of mumin, could still serve, but by Leviim, as we're going to see, there is a mandatory age for retirement by Leviim. So that's the Gemara says. But Kohanim be mumin psulin, so Kohanim are disqualified by mumin, bisharim ksherim. But there's no age limitation by Kohanim. Leviim be mumin ksherim, bisharim psulim. But ultimately, Leviim, mum does not disqualify them. So even if they have a mum, they are kasha for avoda. But by shanim psulim, ultimately, again, there is an if they age at a certain level, at a certain age, they must retire. Nimtza, therefore, it turns out, kasha b'kohanim pasul b'leviim, kasha b'leviim pasul b'kohanim. That's what the Mishnah means when it says that which is kasha by kohanim, i.e., age, ultimately is pasul by leviim. That which is kasher by Leviim, i.e. mumin, pasul by Kohanim. Ultimately, again, invalidates by Kohanim. Incredible. So asks the Gemara, from where do we know this? The Tanur Rabbanon. Because again, the Braisa says, Zos asher leleviim. So the Pasuk says, this is the halacha by the Leviim. Now we'll say the rest of the Pasuk is as follows. Zos asher leleviim, mi ben chamesh ve'esrim shana v'malo, yavo litzvot tzava ba'avodas olamoy. So the Pasuk says, when could Leviim begin to work in the Mishkan? This is stated by the Mishkan, right? 25 years old. From the age of 25, ultimately again, and I will say the next pasuk is, Umi ben chamishim shana yashu mitzvah ha'avoda. So the Torah is pretty explicit. Leviim serve from the age of 25, ultimately again, to 50, which is really quite fascinating. So since the Pasuk says, at the age of 50, there's mandatory retirement for the Leviim, so the Gemara says, so from here we see that Leviim have age requirements, right? Literally, again, an age from which they can start working, so now it's saying 25, and mandatory retirement for Leviim comes at the age of 50. Yochol, mumin postlin b'hem. You might have thought ultimately again that a mum invalidates also by Leviim. Vidinu, and after I would have made a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma kohanim she'in hashanim postlin b'hem, mumin postlin b'hem. So by kohanim who have no age restrictions, yet mumin are pasul, mumin disqualify. Leviim, shashanim postlin b'hem, eno din she'yeheh mumin postlin b'hem. So Leviim, where they do have age qualifications, I would have thought all the more so that mumin disqualified by them as well. Talmud Lomar, Zos Asher Leviim. Therefore, the Pasuk says, this is what limits the Leviim. Now, that's the Pasuk by the age requirements. Zos Leviim, Venacharis Leviim. What is this teaching me? This disqualifies by Leviim. Nothing else disqualifies by Leviim. So it's only going to be age that disqualifies by Leviim, not Mumin. Incredible. Ayochel Yehu Kohanim, Psulim Bishonim. I might have thought that Kohanim should be disqualified by age. Again, Rabbosim, you don't understand when I say disqualified, meaning I would have thought that there's mandatory retirement by Kohanim as well. Valo dinu, after I can make a kavachomer. Uma Leviim, shein mumin poslin bohen, shein poslin bohen. Leviim, where a mum doesn't disqualify, yet age does. So the Gemara says, Kohanim, shein mumin poslin bohen, eno din shiwa shein poslin bohen. Then all the more so. Kohanim, where a mum doesn't passel. I'm sorry, Kohanim, where a mum does passel, certainly age should be a limiting factor as well. Talmud Lomar, Asher Leviim. So again, I will say, therefore the Torah goes out of its way to say, Zos Asher Leviim, that this age issue, this age qualification, only applies to Leviim, does not, velo Asher LeKohanim, doesn't apply to Kohanim. Again, good. So both say, so let's just review what we have so far. So Kohanim and Leviim, although both hail from the same Shevet, have different responsibilities, which we're going to get into in just a moment. Fundamental distinction. Kohanim are disqualified for service by a mum, but there are no age limitations by a Kohanim. So remember, the major impact of that is mandatory retirement. By Kohanim, there's no such thing. Also, by Kohanim, the Pashtos, as soon as a Kohen, sounds like, reaches the age of Bar Mitzvah, he should be fit to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Leviim, Mumin do not disqualify. So whatever physical handicap or impairment a Levi may have, that does not impair him. However, year there is an age limitation. He can't start in the Beis HaMikdash before 25, and there is mandatory retirement at the age of 50. Incredible. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, good. Good. Yochol, af b'shilo, u b'beis olamim kin. Rabbi, now watch this. So remember, we had this back in, I think it was Zvachim or Menachos, where we spent a lot of time on the Mishkan itself. Right? So remember again, there's 40 years in the desert of the Mishkan. There's then 14 years in Gilgal, and then there's 369 years in Shiloh. Then there's a little bit of back and forth, Nov, Givon, different places, and then there's the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rabbi, remember, there's a fundamental distinction between Levitic roles in the desert versus when we come into Eretz Yisrael. What's the fundamental difference? In the desert, Shevet Levi was tasked with the moving of the Mishkan, right? They were tasked with manual labor. They really had to move the Mishkan. Once already the Mishkan gets into Eretz Yisrael, it's much more stationary. Right, 14 years, 369 years, it's not moving around so much. So this is very interesting. So the Gemara says, so now, when you think about it through that lens, it makes sense that there's mandatory retirement for the Levium. Because if their primary job is actual physical labor, taking down, putting up, transporting the Mishkan, so it makes sense, okay, 25 to 50, that makes sense. After 50, maybe you don't want to have them tasked with taking down and putting up and transporting the Mishkan. So watch this. The Gemara says, Yachol af b'shilo beis olamim. You might have thought that mandatory retirement for Levium also applies when they get into Eretz Yisrael, also in Shiloh, also in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Tamar lomar la'avod avodas avoda va'avodas masa. Therefore, Rabbi said, the pasuk says very interesting. So, Rabbi, let me read to you the whole pasuk. Mibed shloshim shana v'mala va'ad ben chamishim shana. From 30 years old to 50 years old. So just keep this in the back of your mind. We already have an inherent contradiction. Why? There are two different psukim. When do Levium start? First pasuk said when? 25. Pasuk I just quoted to you said 30. We'll get back to that in just a moment. But listen to the pasuk. From 30 years old until 50, kalabo la'avod avodas avoda va'avodas masa bi'ohel moed. So from 30 to 50, whoever comes ultimately again to serve, avodas avoda, work, va'avodas masa. What's masa? What's masa? Masa ultimately again is carrying. So what do you see from here? You see from here that the age limitations imposed on the Levian is really related to what we'll call Levitic manual labor. When was Levitic manual labor in play? When was that? That was in the desert. That was in the desert. That really was in the Eretz Yisrael. Lo amarti ela bizman sha'avoda bekasef. The only time that there are age limitations on Levitic service is when there's literal physical labor. Avodas kasef means carrying on the shoulders. So only when they literally again had to carry the Mishkan. So Rabbi says, this is very important. So this whole idea of mandatory retirement by the Levium was dafka in the desert. It did not apply outside of the desert, which makes sense, because halacha lemaisa in the desert, where a big part of the Levium's job was manual labor. Person, by the way, not that we moved around all that much in the desert, right? It's a little bit, this is Rashi and Devarim. We didn't move around all that much in the desert, but nevertheless, that was the primary responsibility. So it was in the desert that ultimately, again, mandatory retirement at the age of 50. But apparently, the Gemara says, once we get into Eretz Yisrael, where the Mishkan, and then ultimately, again, the Beis HaMikdash is obviously stationary, the mandatory retirement age was lifted. Incredible. Incredible. Rashi says over here, Yochol af b'shilo beis olamim. Look at that Rashi. Is right across from Zos. It's actually very beautiful. She'ein avodas levim ala shorim u'mishorim mihin nifsalim shanim. So remember, once the Mishkan is stationed, and the Beis HaMikdash certainly, what was the job of the Levium? What was the job of the Levium? It was opening the doors in the morning, right? Closing them up at night, and singing. So as such, halacha lemaisa, there was no need for mandatory retirement once the Beis HaMikdash was built, and even once the Mishkan itself became stationary. Incredible. Now the Gemara addresses the contradiction. So the Gemara says, we have a problem. What's the problem? Kasav echad omer miben chamesha esim shana v'mayla. The kasav echad omer miben shloshim. So here's the problem. When do the Levim begin their service in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? One pasuk says 25 years old, and one pasuk says 30. Yefshar lomer shloshim shevgar amr ne'emar chavhei. I can't say 30 because the other pasuk says 25. Yefshar lomer chavhei shekvar ne'emar shloshim. And I can't say 25 because the other pasuk says 30. So what is it? Which one is it? I will say, when do the Levium begin their service in the Beis HaMikdash? Ha ketzot, how does this work? Here we go. Chavhei le Talmud u'shloshim la'avoda. Oh, watch this. at 25 years old, as a Levi, you showed up to learn this service. Essentially, 5 years of apprenticeship. 5 years, learn the halachas, see how it all works, and then at the age of 30, you're activated into service. You know, we'll say fasting. So therefore, it's not a contradiction. So a pasuk that says 25, that's when you showed up, reported for duty, learned the malacha. 30 is when you are actually commissioned for service, which then leads the Gemara to say an amazing thing. Mikan, from here we learn, Letalmid shalo ra'a simin yafa b'mishnasa hei shanim, shuv ein aroa. From here we see that if a student, literally translated, if a student does not see success in his learning within 5 years, he's not going to see success. Now, we'll say, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Letalmud lomot hilchos avoda." Right? Shalora simin yafa lomid v'shocheach. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is like this: if a person's learning for 5 years, and they don't see simin bracha, or simin yafa, I should say. And Rashi defines simin yafa is they're not able to retain. They're learning, forgetting, that ultimately shuv ein aroa. They're not going to see any simin bracha. They're not going to see any success in their learning. So I'll say, I have to tell you something. This Gemara bothers me to absolutely no end. And I'll tell you why. That, what does this mean? First of all, how could Chazal say something like this? Do you know how many people don't see success in their learning for years and years and years on end? Right? I'm talking people into yeshiva, right? Who don't see success in learning for years. What does this mean? A person doesn't see success for 5 years, so that's it for the rest of my life? I'm not going to see simin bracha? How could Chazal make a statement like this? What a defeatist attitude. If you don't see any simin bracha 5 years, shuv, you're never going to see it again. I think Gemara is saying something a little bit different. Gemara is saying like this. The Gemara is not talking about fact. The Gemara is talking about often how we view ourselves. The way human nature is if I go ahead and I experience sustained failure, generally what that creates for me is an expectation of future failure. That's the way we are. If I'm not good at something, I assume I'll never be good at something. And if I keep seeing a lack of success, in something, I assume that there's no pathway to success. The Gemara is not talking about fact. The Gemara is talking about human nature. Human nature is called Talmid Shalo Ra'a Simin Yafa B'Mishnasa Heishanim. If I do something for a prolonged amount of time and I am unsuccessful, chances are Shuv in Aroa. I'm not going to see success. Now, both say, why am I not going to see success? Why not? Because I'm going to give up. Not because I can't be successful, but because human nature is that after enough time of sustained failure, we generally give up. And when you give up, one thing is absolutely abundantly, unequivocally clear, which is you will fail. If you give up, you fail. That's the way it works. So we'll say, that's the Gemara saying. Human nature is that when we are unsuccessful at something, we tend to give up. And once you give up, you'll certainly never be successful. But there's another alternative. What's the other alternative? Don't give up. There's another option. You're not seeing bracha. Keep plugging away at it. Keep trying harder. Rabbi Osai, to me, this Gemara is no truer than for Daf Yomi. Right? Again, Rabbi Osai, how long did it take for Shas?
11 years.
11 years. All right, but one second. It's a 7.5 year cycle. So what happened?
I started on my own.
See, here's the difference. The difference is that more often than not, what ends up happening is we start things, they don't go well, we give up on things. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you give up, you're certainly not going to be successful. So we assume that when something is difficult and I don't see bracha, just give up on it. But if you're willing to plug away, even in the midst of defeat, if you're willing to keep going, even when it's not going well, you could accomplish anything you put your mind to. The Gemara is just talking about, this is the most tragic statement in all of Shas. Because this is the statement of human nature. Kol tamid shelo ra'a simin yafa b'mishnaso. Sometimes I don't see any success in my learning. And you could take that learning, you could put in anything else you want there. I don't see success in my marriage. I don't see success in my career. So what ends up happening? After a prolonged amount of time of not seeing success, I give up. Well, once you give up, shuv in a roa. If you give up, one thing is clear, you will never see success. But if you're willing to keep plugging away in your learning, in your relationships, in your career, anything else you put your mind to, you could pull out bracha even from the midst of overwhelming challenge. Incredible, I'll say. Incredible. Chazal, because I am absolutely sure that this is pshat. Because it would be impossible for Chazal to make a statement that says, if you're not successful for X amount of time, you'll never be successful. That is antithetical to anything and everything we believe in. We're just the opposite. You're not successful? Keep trying. Keep plugging away. Keep working. And some way, somehow, you will find the pathway to success. Maybe not the pathway you intended, right? Sometimes you need a workaround, right? Sometimes you need like a bypass road. But if you keep plugging away, you will always find success. Incredible. So the Gemara goes back there. Rabbi Yossi says, Gimel Shanim. Rabbi Yossi will say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yossi says, no, this is actually, Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not 5 years, it's 3 years. If you don't see success in 3 years, ultimately you're not going to see success anymore. Now, where does Rabbi Yossi get this? Shneimar, listen to this. Ulagadlam shanim shalosh. Right, Shanim shalosh. Ulamdam sefer aloshon kastim. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. The Gemara over here is quoting the pasuk from Daniel. So this is, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to create like a group of close advisors. So who did he look to? This is incredible. Who did he look to? He looked to the Jews. He took a bunch of Jewish young men and he trained them for 3 years to become proficient in kasti, in the language of kasti. And it says 3 years. So point of view is, what do you see? Training takes 3 years. If you don't get it in 3 years, ultimately, again, you're not going to be successful. Which for our purposes, we'll say, means what? Just again, same yisod. So Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, no. It doesn't take 5 years for people to give up. It actually only takes 3 years for people to give up. Right? People give up much faster than that. So the Gemara says, how do you reconcile these two? So the Gemara says, v'idach, shiny lashon kastin v'kalil. Other people say, no, you can't bring a ride from Daniel because it only takes 3 years to learn the Kasti language. Apparently, it's easy to learn it, but learning the Avoda is much more complicated. So the Gemara says, V'idach, shiny hilchos Avoda t'takif. Another opinion will say, it takes 5 years to learn the Avoda because ultimately, again, the laws of the Avoda are much more difficult. Okay, incredible. They both say, bottom line is, for the Levium, one thing is clear, which is they reported for duty at the age of 25. 25 to 30, they were trained. And then 30, ultimately, again, they reported for duty. Incredible. So the Gemara goes like the Tana Banon. So we'll say, just before we go on, I just want to, actually, we'll get a little bit, let's get to the two dots, and I'll tell you just a beautiful idea about the kind of idea. Let's go a little bit right there. So the Gemara says, Tana Banon, Kohen, Mishiyavi Shtei Saros, Achiyaskin Kasha Lavo, Da Umubin Postlimbo. Look what Rashi says. So a Kohen is fit to serve in the Beis HaMikdash once he brings two hairs, physical maturation. He's a gadol. Once he's an adult, we'll call it for our purposes bar mitzvah. Once he becomes a bar mitzvah, ultimately again, until he gets old, right? And we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Because we said before that there's no mandatory retirement by the Kohen. Here it sounds like there is a mandatory retirement. And when he gets old, now what the definition of old is, we'll see. He's got Shafa Avoda, Umumin Postlimbo. But Mum, of course, disqualify a Kohen. Ben Levi, on the other hand, the Ben Levi, Mi Ben Shloshim Ve'ad Ben Chamishim, Kashal Avoda. A Levi serves from the age of 30 to the age of 50. Vishanim Postlimbo. And ultimately, again, there's mandatory retirement at the age of 50. And he can't show up for work earlier than 30. Again, 25, he can begin to learn. But 30 is when he begins to do the Avoda. Ben Darim, again, we'll say, when is this so? When do Levim have these age restrictions? That's only again in the desert. Makes sense. Why? Because again, then in the desert, being a lady required a lot of manual labor. Avab Shiloh over Beis Salamim, but in Shiloh, the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Nifsalin Ella Bakal. This is great. What disqualifies a lady? Bad voice. Bad voice. You guys know who you are, right? The Levi, right? In other words, right? right? Just we like you for your smile, right? So again, interestingly enough, so Leviim, and makes sense, because by Leviim, their avodah was to open the doors and ultimately sing. So interestingly enough, so once we come into Eretz Yisrael, the Leviim don't have physical labor, so therefore, again, there's no mandatory retirement at 50. But what would passel, so to speak, is a bad voice. Now again, I will say, you can still open doors with a bad voice. Like, in other words, there's still Levitic responsibilities that can be discharged. But obviously, a Levi with a bad voice, ultimately, again, would not be part of the Levitic choir. I also want to point out something so interesting. You know, you would think to yourself, like, but it's not nice. I don't know, put, like, it's like, you remember, like, growing up, like, when you had, like, a school choir, the kids who couldn't sing, you know, they were strategically placed, right, in different, like, so you think to yourself, like, let the Levi, what are you going to do? You're going to tell us, sorry, you Levi, you know what? You open doors, you're not in the choir. And the answer is yes. You see, this is a very new idea that suddenly we are concerned about hurting everyone's feelings if they can't do everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created different people with different skills. Some people can't sing. So if you can't sing, you're not in the choir. It doesn't mean you're less than. It doesn't mean you're not great. It doesn't mean you're not fantastic. You have a different tachlis. It's the same way, that different people have different skill sets. We think that we have to allow everybody to do everything. Because if everybody can't do everything, it's discriminatory. It's this, it's not. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everybody to do everything, he would have created everybody with the ability to do everything. But that's the whole chab. If everybody could do everything, then what's my tachlis? The whole thing is, there are certain things I can't do that you can do, which is important because that's why the world needs you. And there are certain things that I can do that you can't do, which is why the world needs me. The whole beauty of life is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with different kochos. And so instead of trying to make everybody the same, we're so much better off cultivating individuality. Because that's how you discover strengths. So okay, might it be a little bit hurtful when the little lady is told, sorry, you're not in the choir? Okay, maybe it stings a little bit. But at the end of the day, there are so many other incredible things that you can do. So instead of trying to go ahead and be like everyone else, discover the individual kochos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you and maximize those kochos. It's incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Mikra. Rabbi Yossi says, what's the pasuk that supports this? I'm a beis. Vahike echad. Lemechatzatzrim or lemeshorim lashmiya kol echad. Quotes over here, the pasuk. From Divrei Hayamim. So you see over here that he was like one of the mechatzatzrim. It's like chatzar, one of the ones who opened the doors, one of the singers, to make the call heard. So again, those I see, from here that the primary job of Levi ultimately, again, was to go ahead and halacha lemaisa, sing and open the doors. Incredible. And we'll say, just before we go on, let's go back to and then I'll tell you at the end. Actually, asking. So remember, the Brisa said, interesting enough, as much as we said that there is no age limitation by Kohanim, yet again, the Brisa did say, Kohanim could serve until they get old. So how old is that? Ad kama? Amar Rabbi Elai, Rabbi Chanina, ad shiraseis. Listen to this. Until their hands become shaky. So Rashi points out there, ad shiraseis, yodav v'raglav rosesin me'in koach. Which makes sense. So once they develop like a tremble, which also makes sense in terms of like, you know, Kabbalah, Zrika, there are a lot of things that require a certain amount of, what's the right word? Dexterity. What? Dexterity? Yeah, dexterity. So again, so therefore, once a Kohen already becomes a little bit older, so that he's a little bit more shaky, at that point in time, that's the mandatory retirement for Kohen. And again, I both say, remember, even then, when we speak about retirement, that's retirement from Avoda. There's still other responsibilities that can be discharged. And I also, I'll just point out also, so much of life, you know, this is a Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsch brings down the Avraham Zakein Ba Bayomim. Literally, Avraham Avinu got old, advanced in days. So it's a little bit redundant. What does it mean, Avraham Zakein Ba Bayomim? It's either he's old, but Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsch says something so beautiful. He says that when people often, when we use the phrase, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he doesn't say exactly like this, but this is what he means. When we say like aging gracefully, so generally, like, how do people define aging gracefully? I don't know, lack of wrinkles or whatever it might be. Rav Hirsch says aging gracefully means accepting the stage of life that you're in without lamenting that which has been lost. Meaning, Rav Hirsch says often as people get older, they spend so, oh, when I was young, I was able to do this, you know, bend down and tie my shoes, you know, when I was like, you know, when I was younger, I could do this, and now this hurts and that hurts. And you hear this, like people like spend their lives like lamenting all the things they can no longer do. Rav Shachnalfal Hirsch says, so much of life, aging gracefully means the ability to maximize the stage that you're in without lamenting that which is behind you. He says, that's the pshat. V'Avram Zokim. Avram was old. That's clear. But what was the guy with Avram Avinu? Baba Yomim. He came with his days. What does it mean to go with your days? Lean into it. Embrace the stage that you're in. Because yes, while it's true that perhaps every stage may bring with it new limitations, that might be true, but every stage also brings with it brand new opportunities. And life is all about maximizing the opportunities you have and not spending your time lamenting the opportunities that are no longer in front of you. To be zaken, to be old is one thing, Ba'ba'yamim, to age gracefully, leaning into the stage that you're in, that was Yerushalayim of Venus. So just putting it out over here, even at these ages of mandatory retirement, right? So again, you're right, so Kohen, once he begins to become a little bit shaky, he can't do the avoda anymore, but he had to figure out what new opportunities does this new stage provide for me. Incredible. Let's go back there. So the Gemara says, Achiras, it's not awesome. We learned. Bal keri shetava volo hitel mayim, l'cheshiyatil tome. Okay, so now really switching gears over here. So the Gemara says as follows. You have a Balkari. Balkari is a man who experiences a seminal emission. So if a man has a seminal emission and he hasn't yet urinated, when he urinates, he becomes tame again. Now what's the idea over here? The idea over here is because after a man experiences a seminal emission, the assumption is there's still some amount of zeros, still some amount of semen that's left. And only once he urinates does the rest of the semen come out, which essentially means that he's still tummy. So in other words, even after, quote-unquote, you know, the emission finished, when he urinates, there's another quasi-emission that happens, and therefore it becomes tummy again, which I both say is actually important because halacha l'maaseh, what the Gemara is saying is like this. A Baal Keri has to go to the mikvah. Right? So really what the Gemara is saying is like this. Don't go to the mikvah until after you urinate. Right, because then we could assume that all of the semen is out of his body, and then immersion will be meaningful. But if he has the emission, goes ahead and immerses tvila, and then ultimately urinates for the first time afterwards, he'll have to go to the mikveh again. Interesting. Rabbi Yossi says, "Becholle ubezaken tameh beyelet ubebari tahar." So interestingly enough, the Gemara says, Ovi Rabbi Yossi says, that when is this true? This is only true with someone who is ill or someone who is old. How as someone who is young and healthy, he is tar. Now what that means, apparently, the Gemara Rabbi Yossi is saying is like this, that Allah HaLamaisa, when a young and healthy man emits zera, it all comes out. It's only when someone is a little bit older or a little bit more sickly where some of the zera remains inside. Okay. The Gemara says, Yeled ad kama. This is great, we'll say. How old is young? What's the definition of being young? We'll say, this is a great child. What is the definition of being young? And by the way, I just want to point out, just so you see, it has like a halacha l'maaseh implication as well, right? Because again, just for tumas zera, right, for Baal Keri. But again, the Gemara says, what's the definition of being young? This is great. Get ready for this. I'm Rabbi Loi, I'm Rabbi Chanina. Kol sha'omid al raglo achos, v'cholitz mina alo, v'noa mina alo. Listen to this. The definition of being young is you could stand on one foot, take off your shoe, and put on your shoe. That's the definition of being young. Standing on one foot, being able to put on your shoe, take off your shoe. Amru alav. I've not been young for a very long time. I've been going to say, Amru alav. Al Rabbi Chanina, listen to this. Hello, Rabbi Chanina. Shayu ben shmonim shana. Rabbi Chanina was 80 years old. And he was able to stand on one foot and take off his shoe and put on his shoe. We'll say, isn't that incredible? We'll say, by the way, just pause here for just a second. What does that mean? What is that? Like, that's the definition of being young? Okay, so you could say, okay, what's the pshat? What does it mean to be young? Balance, right? In other words, That's relative. That's pretty balanced, right? If you can stand on one foot, take off your shoe, put on your shoe. By the way, it doesn't mean taking off and putting it on others. It means you can either put on a shoe on one foot, right, sitting on one foot, or take off a shoe on one foot. What's the pshat? I was on a deeper level. What does that mean? That's the definition of youth. And I was saying, the definition of being young is the ability to balance. What happens when you're standing on one foot? I will say, what happens? See, you have to be very firmly grounded, because what ends up happening is if somebody walks by and even just pokes you a little bit, what can happen? You could lose your balance and fall. Life is all about being able to maintain balance, even when outside factors are working against you. What it means to be young, what it means to be youthful, is the ability to keep your balance even when there are other forces outside of you acting upon you. What's the greatest challenge in life? The greatest challenge in life is things happen and we are fundamentally and totally derailed. You see this, right? I see this all the time. I wasn't expecting this to happen. What is it? Life is filled. The biggest disservice we do to ourselves is the expectation that life is supposed to be tranquil. For some reason, we walk around with this idea that life is supposed to be easy, that things are supposed to fall into place. And what ends up happening is, if that's your mindset, which is the worst mindset in the world, when stuff happens, you're like totally thrown. I can't believe, what happened? What happened? Who said life was supposed to be easy? Whoever said that? Whoever made that guarantee? Whoever said to you that life is supposed to go according to the plan that you created? Where in the world did that expectation come from? Where did you get that from? Life, by definition, is difficult. Life, by definition, is unpredictable. Life constantly throws you curveballs. If you get a tranquil day here and there, you are the luckiest person in the world. But that is not the nature of life. And when you embrace that ideology, when you embrace that mindset, that life is unpredictable, life is turbulent, life is challenging, then you could stand on one foot and put on and take off your shoes, because you know how to balance. Because every single day is all about that balancing act. But if at the end of the day, you don't know how to balance, and you just expect life to be 2 feet firmly planted on the ground, you are not going to accomplish anything. Because rarely is life that stable with 2 feet planted on the ground. Youthful exuberance, youthful vitality comes only to those who know the art of balance. If you're able to, and by the way, it's not just standing on one foot. It's standing on one foot, putting a shoe on, taking a shoe off. Rabbi, remember again, this is so profound. What do shoes represent? What do shoes represent?
Hello?
Right? What do shoes represent, Rabbi Osei? Shoes represent mobility. Mobility. Right? Shoes represent the ability to walk forward. So look what Chazal are saying. What's the definition of youth? The definition of youth is the ability to stand on one foot, to balance yourself, and put on your shoes and take off your shoes, which is a metaphor for moving forward. Life is all about not just standing on one foot, but moving forward on one foot. Life is about figuring out how to constantly and perpetually remain upright and moving forward no matter what life throws your way. If there's one predictable thing in life, it is unpredictability. Unpredictability is the only predictable thing. Life is filled with twists and turns. Accept it. Be mekabel it. Understand the fact that whatever you think is going to happen, chances are something dramatically different is going to happen. Hopefully it's going to be better, but it's certainly going to be different. Life is all about maintaining balance while standing on one foot and making sure you know how to put on your shoes to move forward and how to take off your shoes when you need to remain in place. That is the totality of successful living. And that's what it means to be youthful. Youthful just... Understand, I will say, this is life. You might think to yourself, okay, nice Vart, would you like to finish up the daf? No, I'm not moving forward. I'm not moving until you understand what the Gemara just gave us, I will say. This is life. Life is all about being able to maintain balance on one foot. Just the difference is, you're on one foot and you're getting pushed from this side, push from that side, and it's raining and it's pouring and the wind is howling and this person's trying to pull my other foot that's there, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's happening. Stay strong. Stay rooted. Put on your shoes, take off your shoes. Pledge to yourself that no matter what, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Life is going to continue to be unpredictable and stuff is going to come my way that I had no idea, never imagined in a million years. But I got this. I got this. Deep breath. Stay balanced. Stay rooted. Keep moving. And there's nothing I can't accomplish. It's incredible. Let's go back there. So the Gemara says as follows. So Rabbi Chanina said, what does Rabbi Chanina says? I'm 80 years old and I can stand on one foot. Because when you internalize this mindset when you're young, you'll be able to internalize it when you are old as well. Rabbi Chanina said, Chamin v'shemen shesach tani imi bialdusi hein amdu li be'ez ziknusi. So this is actually quite beautiful. So Rabbi Chanina said, the fact that my mother bathed me in warm water and anointed me with oil in my youth, ultimately, again, allowed me to remain vital in my old age. Which Rabbi Osai is so, there's so much to say about this, Rabbi Osai, that again, even in this, so much of success in life is due to a nurturing and loving and warm upbringing. Right? In other words, if we could go ahead and give our children, right, that warm water, that beautiful oil, teach our children to believe in themselves, teach our children that they could stand on one foot, teach our children that they're going to be okay no matter what life throws their way, teach our children that they're so much more resilient than they ever realized that they are. If you bathe them in that warm water, not the warm water of spoiling, right, not the warm water of privilege, but the warm water of love, of acceptance, of commitment, that sustaining oil, that you could stand on one foot and you're going to be okay, that will sustain them throughout their entire lives. Incredible. Let's go back there. Tana Abanan. You are so as follows. Nismali zikano, rai liyo shliach tzibur. Shabbos says, listen, this is actually very interesting. Once a person has a full beard, he could be the chazan. Now, again, Shabbos says, what that sounds like over here, not that you need a beard to be the chazan. What it sounds like is once you've reached the age that you can grow a beard, then you could be the chazan. Now, Tosis actually points out to it. If you look at Tosis just very quickly, Valeria lifnei ateva, ultimately, and to daven for the amen, belisas kapov, and to duchen. So, again, Shabbos says, now look at Rashi just a moment. Nismali zikano, tap Tosis. Okay, so listen to this. Tosa says like this. Technically speaking, a boy could go ahead and daven for the Amid as soon as he becomes bar mitzvah. Right? However, what the Gemara is talking about over here is to become a shliach tzibur. Shliach tzibur means what we call like a shliach tzibur kavua, someone who davens for the amud on a regular basis, or someone who davens for the amud on special occasions, taniyos, fast days, ma'amados, yamim no ra'im. The halacha is that shliach tzibur for special occasions should only be someone who is old enough to grow a beard. You need a certain level of maturity, which makes sense. You don't want to put a kid up there on yamim no ra'im. Right, you don't want to put a kid up there on a tanis tzibur. Again, technically speaking, as soon as a boy reaches the age of majority, right, becomes a gadol bar mitzvah, he could daven. But shliach tzibur kavua, ultimately, again, only once in the smali zakano. Now, what's interesting of Tosas also says no says kapov, right? So duchening. But yet again, Abba said, we see even children go up to Duchen, right? Even minor Kohanim, right? Even children below Bar go up with their father. So Abba says, Tosas points out over here, it's like this. Yes. Young Kohan and below Bar Mitzvah could even go up with their father. But if you only have one Kohen in the shul, and let's say he's not Bar Mitzvah, he doesn't Duchen. So in other words, young Kohanim could go up to Duchen with their fathers from any age. Even the young children. But Aloch Lamaisa, to be the only Kohen, that ultimately, again, has to be above Bar Mitzvah. Incredible. So the Gemara goes like there. Rabbi Omer, Memasai Kasher LaAvoda. Ultimately, when is a Kohen Kasher to do Avoda? Mishiyah V'shteisar. So this is very interesting. So a Kohen, remember, as opposed to a Levi, who learns 25 to 30, then reports for duty at 30 years old, a Kohen could already begin to do the Avoda when he becomes a Gadol, Bar Mitzvah. Rabbi Omer Ani Achihei Ben Esrin. So this is interesting. Rabbi says, no, a Kohen can't do the Avoda until he is 20 years old. It's mostly fascinating. Amr of Chista, my time with Rebbe, what's Rebbe's logic? That a Kohen can't do the Avodah until he's 20? Because the Pasuk says, Because the Pasuk says, I will say in Ezra, that literally again, they established the Levium from 20 years old and on to supervise on the Malacha, on the work in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we're going to see in this context, Levium means Kohanim. It means members of Shevet Levi. The Idach, the Natseach Shaini. So the other opinion says, no, this is different because this was a supervisory role. So in a supervisory role, okay, you want more established Kohanim, that's 20 years old and on. I Vaha, high krab Levim Ksiv. But the Pasuk is talking about Levim, not Kohanim. Kid Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Dam Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Be'estrin Va'arba Makomos Nikru Kohanim Levim. In 24 places, ultimately, again, the Kohanim were called Levim. V'zeh Echad Mehem, and this is one of them, Va'Kohanim HaLevim B'nei Tzadok. Tan Rabbanon, Ish Mizaracha. So the Pasuk says, Ish Mizaracha L'dorosam. So the Pasuk says, right, so therefore again, interestingly enough, Kohanim, just so we get our details correct, Kohanim could do the Avodah Beis HaMikdash from the time that they bring two sars, from the time that they bring two hairs, physical maturation. Right, mandatory retirement for Kohanim is when they become shaky. Levim, 25 years old, show up to learn. 25 to 30, learn. 30, begin to do the avodah. Mandatory retirement for Levim in the desert, 50. All right, once commentary is Israel, no mandatory retirement. Mikis Gemara says this. So Rabbanon, Ish Mizarachal Dorosam, Mikan Amra Belazar, Katan Pasal La Avodah, Vafilu Tam. From here we learn ultimately again that a katan is possible to do the avodah, even if he's unblemished. Me'emasai kasher la'avodah. From what point in time is he fit to do the avodah? Mishiyav ishtei saros. So a kohen is fit to go ahead and do the avodah from the time that he brings, right, signs of physical maturation. Aval echav kohanim ein manichen oso la'avod ad shiyehei ben chaf. This is very interesting. However, this is fascinating. However, even though a Kohen, technically speaking, could do the Avodah from the time that he brings two hairs, physical maturation, but his fellow Kohanim would not allow him to do the Avodah until he was 20 years old. So we'll say, isn't that interesting? So there was what's permitted and what was done. What's permitted is as soon as he becomes Bar Mitzvah, he could do the Avodah. What was commonly done in the Beis HaMikdash? They really wouldn't let a Kohen below the age of 20 do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Others explain, others say it's really Rebbe, right? And Rebbe, Rebbe holds that halacha l'maisa, it's true. They wouldn't let a Kohen below 20 do the Avodah, but it was totally fine. There's no psul even d'rabanan to do so. The Ikad Amri, Rebbe isle psul midrabanan, v'harabanan hi ulechatilahu delo, aval di'eved avodah asal kshera. Others say, no, it's Rebbe, and Rebbe holds below the age of 20, there's actually a psul d'rabanan. The Rabbanon hold that below the age of 20 from Bar Mitzvah and up, he could do the Avodah. It just wasn't done. So I will say, see, either way, whatever the technicalities are, a Kohen, so let's frame this. A Kohen is fit to do the Avodah from the age of Bar Mitzvah, and mandatory retirement ultimately, again, is whenever he becomes shaky. Practically, a Kohen less than 20 years old didn't do the Avodah. They just didn't let him. Levim, at the age of 25, you show up to learn. 25 to 30, you learn. 30, you begin to do service. Mandatory retirement in the desert at the age of 50, because it was manual labor. Once we came into Eretz Yisrael, no mandatory retirement. The only thing that precluded, what was the job of the Levim? Primarily, again, singing, opening doors. If you had a bad voice, you were precluded from singing, but you still had other Levitic responsibilities. Ultimately, again, you can discharge. Rabbi said, just one last thought on this sugya, and with this we'll conclude. If you notice, interestingly enough, by Kohanim, ultimately, or excuse me, by Levim, it's interesting to note that Mumin are Ksherim, and Shanim are Psulim. Right, isn't this interesting? So by a Levi, so if he's blemished, ultimately again it's kosher. But if he ages out, ultimately again it's going to be pasul. So listen to this. So the Ger Rebbe says something so beautiful. The Beis Yisrael, get ready for this. He says, what does it mean? And I will say, by the way, the reason why this is interesting for us is because Kohanim, right? Only certain people could be a Kohen, right? Either you're a Kohen or you're not a Kohen. Shevet Levi, if you remember again, there's a beautiful Rambam in Hilchos Shmita. We actually quoted it on Shavuos night. The Rambam writes this idea that Levi, if you want to be part of Shevet Levi, anyone who wants to be part of Shevet Levi and devote their lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do so. Which means, interestingly enough, for those of us who are not Kohanim and Levim, regular Yisraelim, there's much more to learn from the Levim, for us, like from an emulatory perspective, than regarding the Kohanim. So when it comes to the Levim, Right? So mumin don't pasul, shanim do pasul. A mum doesn't invalidate, but yet years do. Listen to this. This is incredible. Haremez sha'al hamum yochol od letakin. Shia mum over. V'lachin af shenichshal eino pasul, aval ha-shanim sh'holchin lirik b'lo avodas Hashem, sh'mechalin es hazman, zeu psul ba'avodas Hashem. So the basic Yisrael says like this. A mum represents an aveira. So I'm saying, what's the good news about aveiras? What's the good news about sin? The good news, you can fix it. What's the one thing you can't fix? Shanim. Wasted time. If you waste time, that is something you can never regain. Sin, you absolutely can rebound from. And no matter how severe the aveira, no matter how severe the transgression, a person could always come back from that. But shanim, years, time that you lose, that you can never regain. And says the Beis Yisrael, that's the pshat. Mumin ksherim, shanim psulim. A mum that comes from an aveira, you're still kasher. You could still rebound from that. But wasted time, unfortunately, again, psulin, that's something that can never be regained. And the Bible says, such a tremendous yisod from us. To sin, we all sin. We all sin, and we all sin a lot. And that's okay, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us something called tshuva. And the beauty of tshuva is, if you do it the right way, your averus can even become mitzvahs, can even become zechuyos. But the Bible says, when it comes to wasted time, no matter how much tshuva I do, there's no way to regain lost time. That can never be regained. So Rabbi says, as we emerge into a new week, as we emerge into this new period post Shavuos, Rabbi says, remember again, now, after Shavuos, this is the runway for Yomim Noraim, right? All kidding aside, I know I said El is around the corner. Now it's real. Now it's real, right? Rabbi says, the next big, because remember, what's next? Rabbi says, what's next calendrically? What's next? No. Don't say Tisha B'Av. Don't say, how can you say that? You're planning to fast. I have no plans to fast this year. I believe with all of my heart that Mashiach is going to be here, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and ultimately, again, Tu B'Av is going to be a Yom Tiv, Tisha B'Av is going to be a Yom Tiv, which means the next big thing ahead of us, ultimately, again, is Chodesh Elul, is Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. But now, this is the runway. This is the runway leading up to that. Which means Rabbi said, the avoda is, which is the same avoda all the time, maximization of our time, maximization of our opportunities. Averus, we could always rectify. But lost time, that's the one sunk cost that you can never regain. Mumim, ksher, no matter how bad the avera, you'll rebound. Shanim, miss out on days, weeks, months, years, psul, and that can never be regained. New week, new opportunity, new runway, and Miras Hashem may be zocha to maximize every moment. Alright, Chavon Zuma, have a great day, everyone.